Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 461 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass School Committee Davis Thayer Facility Analysis Subcommittee meeting held on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a remote format. All the subcommittee members, central office personnel, and possible public participants were remote via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I'm catching up to this, yes, after the fact, but sharing this is a matter of public record. I was unable to participate fully in the meeting on February 3rd due to the multiple meetings scheduled in competing time slots. You may recall that I chose to cover the Board of Health meeting, which ran from 5 to 5:25. It was short and ended at that time. The beginning of this meeting, the Davis Thayer Facility Analysis Subcommittee meeting, I attended from approximately 5:30 to 5:43 and left to cover the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting in its entirety from 5:45 to approximately 6:50, followed by the Town Council meeting, which began at 7. I did listen to the recording provided by the Franklin Public Schools to prepare for this sharing. Unfortunately, there's not much more to add to what was already reviewed and discussed during the school committee meeting of February 9th. In case you did not hear, the school committee did accept the report and did vote to close the school by a 5-2 vote. Due to the recording I viewed to make this audio copy, I could not tell how many participants there were from the public. The three members of the committee, Superintendent Ahern and Business Manager Miriam Goodman, are the voices acknowledged that we hear. At the end of the meeting, Subcommittee Chair Stokes state that they will not take comments as this is their last meeting. So I feel bad for anyone in the public who did participate, if they were there, hoping to get to say something. If I had continued to do that, my two cents also would have been silenced. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda. The recording runs just about 51 minutes. So let's listen to the Davis Thayer Facility Analysis meeting of February 3rd, 2021.
Call for attendance. Judy Pompeffer.
Here.
MJ Schofield.
Here.
Lily Stokes here. Okay, great. At this point, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the minutes from January 28th meeting. Okay. All right, so with the time being 5:33, we'll call this meeting to order. Since we're meeting remotely, we need to do roll call for attendance. Judy Pompeffer.
Here.
MJ Schofield.
Here.
Lily Stokes here. Okay, great. At this point, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the minutes from January 28th meeting last week, 2021.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Great. So we need to vote by roll call. Judy Pompeffer.
Yes.
MJ Schofield.
Yes.
Lily Stokes. The purpose of tonight's meeting is to review, edit, and finalize our summary memo and vote to make our recommendation official. We also want to discuss how emails related to the study should be addressed, since this is only an ad hoc subcommittee and our work is coming to an end, so the subcommittee will be dissolved. We'll start by reviewing what happened at our last meeting. Each subcommittee member was asked to spend time on their own between our meetings to consider all the information gathered during our process. Independently evaluate pros and cons of each option, then select the one or two options that they believed were the best for the Franklin community. During our last meeting, the recommendation to close DT in FY22 was independently selected by each of the subcommittee members and then supported by the FPS administration. I compiled a list of pros and cons of each option from all the information we gathered through this process. I'll review the pros and cons that were considered as part of the option to close DT in FY22. And subcommittee members, let me know if I missed anything here. So some of the cons identified, some of the downsides of closing DT in FY22 that were identified and considered were that some parents and staff could be disappointed and angry, The district would need to take time to plan a thoughtful transition, not just logistics, but also school culture. There would be no walkability, so families used to walking to school from the current DT district are unlikely to walk the distance to Keller. And then there will be no walking field trips to downtown because Keller's just too far. And the DT building's legacy of being a historic school in downtown Franklin will be over. Any subcommittee members, anything to add or change to those?
Nope, sounds good.
Nope.
Some of the benefits of closing DT in FY22 that were identified and considered. Students would have opportunities to maintain and or expand their social circles, explore new resources, maintain connections with familiar DT staff, and also build connections with new staff, experience inclusion, and build friendships with students with various needs and abilities, because Keller houses a specialized program which opens up new opportunities for DT students to have connections with students who are more diverse in their physical and neurological abilities. Another benefit of closing this year is that even though this pandemic poses a challenge, a second transition embedded within a current transition is better than uprooting from a stable state, meaning it would be preferred to make a transition during our current hybrid remote structure than to wait until school gets back to normal, full in person, and then making the change then. Other benefits include a variety of improved indoor and outdoor spaces at Keller, more equitable resources in a newer building that is designed to meet the educational needs of students in the 21st century. Staff can highlight their capability and competence in planning for student transitions. Leadership can model many of our portrait of a graduate skills around building inclusive school communities with great care and sensitivity. Potential savings approximate $1 million, which helps to close the budget gap. Merging DT and Keller would get us closer to meeting elementary school capacity targets, especially with decreasing enrollment district-wide. And finally, there's plenty of room in the Keller-Sullivan complex to absorb the full DT community after some current Sullivan space is repurposed to accommodate some Keller non-classroom spaces such as offices and conference spaces. Subcommittee, anything else to add or change here?
Nope, not from me.
Nope.
Okay, so there were some additional topics that didn't really fall cleanly into like being a benefit or being a downside. Maybe they're both, maybe they're neither. For example, some students will require tier 2 or tier 3 supports tailored to their social emotional needs to help ease the transition. These students are currently assigned to join Keller students in sixth grade at Sullivan. So this would move up the transition but keep the assigned middle school and peers the same. Though a few DT staff have been vocally opposed, six of the total 47 staff emailed us in support of the closure. Leadership will need time to thoughtfully complete a thorough transition process. So if this is a preferred option, the vote should be sooner than later. And just a note on logistics to include things like staffing, moving classrooms, transportation, moving costs, unneeded materials, school tours, etc. So any other notes or things that don't fall into a category there to add, subcommittee?
Not from me.
Nor from me.
Great. Okay, so one big thing we've been hearing about is families in particular wanting like a specified, spelled out transition plan now before a decision is made. And I think that's a tricky thing because it's putting the cart before the horse. But I think that it could be helpful for people to have sort of an idea of what a transition might entail, and maybe we'll have more information Tuesday at the school committee meeting. But Sarah, can you speak to that for a minute now?
Sure. So naturally, throughout this whole process, and in part because of input and feedback that was built into the questionnaire from families and from staff members, we've been thinking about aspects of the transition, both from a social emotional standpoint, an academic standpoint, and then some logistical pieces as well. One thing to note is that we are in kind of budget development times, and so there is an element here that I think factors into some of the planning, which is how do we build a budget for Keller, for example, that supports, financially supports a transition And so those are all conversations that are happening now as we build our FY22 budget, and keeping in mind that that this, you know, is the recommendation of the subcommittee for the school committee to consider on Tuesday. I think, you know, this has not happened outside of in a vacuum, and the leadership of Keller Elementary School is, and when the time is right, I think there's an opportunity to make sure that the leadership of Keller Elementary School has a voice in this. But I know that Eric Stark and Jesse Craddock, who are the principal and assistant principal, are phenomenal leaders, and also have many considerations that they are thinking about, everything from school culture for the students, as well as culture and bringing families together, to things like, you know, all the things that go into building a culture, like values and vision and mission, and those are things that are on their minds and will be, you know, considered as part of the social emotional supports that are kind of universal for all students, and that's not the only thing that would be considered. And of course, we would want to support individual students with additional supports, like you note, Elise, in the tier two and tier three supports for students who need additional things to plan for the transition and make sure that they're getting what they need there, socially and emotionally, as well as for academic transitions. I think it's fair to say that it would be an extension of practices that we already employ in terms of student placement, for example. It would just be deeper, and I think more have more intent behind them, purposeful intent, in order to make a smooth transition. And my example there would be around how student placement decisions might get made. So there are many things that are being considered, and we would flesh out the details of a more thorough transition plan should the school committee make this decision, and communicate it out to families, and also look for feedback from our families, as well as communication with our staff, and look for feedback on the plan from staff. I'm sure I'm missing things that that Eric and Jesse would put forward in terms of kind of that transition piece, but it would begin this spring very soon in order to capitalize on all of the time that we have, and it would extend into the summer and into early in the fall, making sure that we're providing opportunities for relationship building and getting to know students, getting to know families, things of that nature. There are other logistical pieces too that would be part of the transition plan and consideration. Some of the things that come to mind are transportation. Other items would be materials, and how are we supporting the classrooms with materials, and what do we need to perhaps dispose of, what would move into the new classrooms, what does Keller have that would stay there. So there are some logistical pieces as well that are going to be considered, and we would want to involve the stakeholders in that, and I'm thinking particularly about the teachers when I think about the materials that would be available and needed for instruction.
Look for more information at the meeting, an upcoming school committee meeting on that too. Great. So one of the other things on our agenda is we need to decide how to respond to emails going forward. So we received a few emails in the last week, but we haven't responded yet because we had to publicly decide how to proceed. However, we did read them and document them. We just haven't responded. So if this subcommittee doesn't exist anymore, it doesn't really make sense to have a response coming from a subcommittee. Our general response had included where we were on our process, which stage or phase we were on, and what stage or phase we were moving into. So if we're done with our piece, that doesn't make any sense anymore. So I think what's there now just says, thank you, your email has been received. I think we're looking forward to developing or posting a FAQ for frequently asked questions on the website. And so thinking that our email general response can include a link to the FAQ, and those questions were all developed from questions, common questions that we'd heard either during public comment during our meetings or through emails or, you know, in our communications with people all along. So hopefully those could answer a number of common questions. And then if after reading through those, the question still isn't answered, then we can have, you know, people know who to contact. I guess that could be part of it. Who do I contact if I have questions? You know, a school principal or a school committee or a superintendent? How does that work? I think that could be helpful. Subcommittee members, do you have other thoughts about an email response?
Do you really think we're going to get a lot of email response after the full school committee votes on this?
I don't know. I'd rather be prepared, though, I guess. You know, it would make sense for people to shift their communication to the full school committee, but if it's going to that facilities analysis email address, I guess we could just cancel the email address, but that seems sort of cold. I don't know.
It seems sort of cold, but bottom line is if this was what we would tax to do, and if we've done it and made the decision and then goes to the full school committee, it's then their decision to make. And so therefore we're out of business.
True. Okay, MJ, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if the subcommittee is no longer going to exist, then the email should go to the full committee.
Okay, so maybe we can just have Anne-Marie Tracy, instead of now the button reads contact the subcommittee, but we can have that button still there, but have it be contact the school committee, and it just goes to all of us instead. That sounds easy enough.
I think that makes more sense.
So next we'll look at the summary memo. I guess my first question there is, what do we call this? Do we call this the report? Or do we call this a memo? Is there like an official thing that we call this? Kind of
I think we call it a treaty.
A treaty?
I mean, this is a major endeavor that we undertook for the past 15, 16, 17 months. You know, it's not a memo, it's not a jot of information, jot of whatever. This took a lot of work, especially on your part, to put this all together. And it's more than a memo, it's more than a, I don't know what a higher word to call it.
Right.
You know, an edict.
Sarah, do you have a suggestion what we should call it?
I think you could call it a report.
Okay, and is the heading like, I have the heading sort of set up like a memo, to, from, date, regarding. Does that make sense for a report? This is all new territory for me as far as like the formatting goes.
I think you should have put to, from, regarding as a cover memo and then have the report all by itself attached to it.
Yeah, you could have an executive summary memo and then the report behind it.
Okay. So a cover page, an executive summary, and then the report. Three things, or no, not a cover page. I need guidance here.
So I think what I would suggest, and maybe Judy, if you have another opinion, I don't mean to
feels free, perfectly free.
Okay, so I would recommend that you have a cover memo. So the cover page is a cover memo with the to, from, date, RE, and it's no more than a page. It could be less than a page. That just is sort of a high level summary of what is behind what comes later, which is the full report that has the sections that you, as you've broken it down.
Okay. then the report itself would start just with a recommendation for the closing study of Davis there.
Yeah, I might put a title like in the center, but otherwise it would start there.
Okay. Like facilities analysis subcommittee final report or something? Report of findings?
That makes sense.
Which one?
Report.
Was that you, MJ?
Yes. Sorry.
So facilities analysis subcommittee report or final report?
That's basic and it's right to the point and it covers what you're doing, what we're doing.
So we start with the recommendation for closing the closing study, which happened in September 2019, referencing the initial memo that came out back in September 2019, the policy, the school committee meeting where that was presented and voted on for their approval, also that same week that the superintendent and school committee chairperson held meetings to follow up directly with the DT community. There was a faculty meeting and I think two parent meetings at different times and different locations. Anything, any feedback or additions or edits in that first section?
No, that covers how we started.
Right. It was even before us, right?
Right.
So MJ, you were there. Does that sound right?
It does.
Okay.
Just
step
one.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Back to the beginning. That's the history part. Okay. So then the ad hoc subcommittee was established. It's us, it lists the members. It talks about this memo, summarizes the process we followed, information we gathered, ways we communicated, options we evaluated, and recommendations we set forth. So that should be in the cover page, right? In the cover memo.
Great.
I'm just editing while we're doing it, so I don't have to do it later. Okay. So then the process, it talks about our process, which we talked about till we're blue in the face. So we all know the process. There's a visual there. Then it goes to information gathering, and it talks about stage one. Phase one was centered around gathering information from independent sources. Remember McKibben, remember Castle Booz. A quick little summary of either of each of those. I went back and forth with wanting to put graphics in, like copying, pasting some of their graphics to add in, because I think they're pretty and compelling. But then I realized if this is just a summary, that's probably too much information, but I could totally go back to adding in some of McKibben's tables and adding in some of the visuals that ABA had in their reports. Do you have thoughts on that? Do you think that that's, if people want to see that, they should just click the link and read the report itself, or should we embed that within our summary?
My personal opinion, you don't want to make this report a multi page. It should be direct and it should be informative and be able to be read and understood quickly. I think having access to those other reports is part of it, but not written into this report. That's just my opinion. Mary Jane?
Yeah, that makes sense. Just as long as the link to the reports are embedded in our final report.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. Sounds good there. Can we look at the summary statements just so that we make sure that we all agree that that's what indeed the summary is of each report? So McKibben forecast report showed elementary enrollment has decreased over the last 4 years and is forecasted to continue to decrease over the next 5 years. So that's what his big chart said. And then his report referenced the continuation of decreased enrollment the district has been experiencing over the last 13 years. So here's some data that we added, some historical data here. So in 2008-2009, the FBS enrollment was 6,244 compared with 4,830 in 2020-21, which is now. FBS elementary enrollment was 2,920 in FY 09 compared with 1974 in FY and 1878 and 21. So although modulars were used on some sites, the difference there would be 1,414 Franklin Public School students were served then in the same number of schools as we have now. I know it's a lot of numbers. Is that the best way to say that? Should we be, I added that, I did the math to see what the difference was there. So I added that 1,414 students.
So that is information that we talked about at an early subcommittee meeting and subsequently since. I think the McKibben report looked specifically at the last, they started with 1415.
Right.
So so it is information that was out there, but I think as it relates to the McKibben report, we supplied him with attendance data going back to 1415.
Right. So should it not be like a sub bullet of McKibben? Should it be a separate bullet? Is that
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. Yep.
Okay. But does that read okay?
It reads fine.
Okay.
I think the last number, 1414.
Okay. I think you mean 1,414 additional students. That the 1,414 is the difference between the 6,244 and the 4,830.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So there were 1,400 more students back in 2008, 2009 in the same number of buildings.
More FPS students were served than in the same number of schools we have now. Does that make sense that way?
Yes.
Although the modular. Mm-hmm. Is there an easier way to say that?
I don't know if it's information that needs to be that quick, that defined, because even though there's that 4830 is the 1,400 difference, there's also a charter school that takes some of the students, and many parents are sending their children to private school. You know, so I think just saying the fact that we have the same amount as whatever from the 2008-2009 and not getting into that definitive numbers.
Right, because the whole point is we have the same amount of schools but less students.
Right. Yeah.
That's the point. So do you think the numbers, the detail is taking away from the basic point? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's too much detail.
Yep. So just how about just although modulars were used on some sites, more FPS students were served than in the same number of schools as we have now?
I think it's too much detail. I know you love the detail and you love the graphs and all that, but this is going to the school committee. They've heard for years the fact that we have less students every year.
Okay. Does somebody have a suggestion to change it, or do you just want to let me figure it out?
I'm sure you can figure it out expertly.
I don't want to, though. Okay. Sarah, do you know, can you figure out a more succinct way to say that? We served more students. I don't know.
Maybe just get rid of the last sentence.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let the numbers of the decrease, the magnitude of the decrease.
True.
Stand okay. on its own. And then in the first bullet, I'm just rereading that. The report showed elementary enrollment has decreased over the last 4 years, forecasted to continue to decrease over the next five. Okay. Yes, that's right.
Right. Okay. I was looking at the chart when I wrote that. Okay. All right, then that will be done. And then moving to KBA. So, I guess I should ask, are there any other things you want to say about McKibben? Were there any other big take-home points for any of you that we didn't point out here? Again, the report will be attached. No? Okay. So Castle Boo's report showed that the Franklin Public Schools are running under capacity, and capacity is anticipated to continue to decline in the next 10 years. Also, the three standalone elementary schools are aging and need attention. And third, DT has the lowest educational adequacy score across elementary schools. And then the KBA report recommends that to optimize functional capacity, FPS should close one or two elementary schools now and work to develop a master facilities plan to delineate future elementary redistricting and middle school consolidation. As one option, the report recommended closing DT and moving the current DT students to Keller, which would increase the Keller Sullivan school utilization rate from 59 to 80% currently and 49 to 74% in 10 years.
I would just put recommended moving the Davis Thayer students to Keller and not with all the other percentages and whatever in there. We want to make this easy for the layperson to read this.
I know, you're right. I think the reason why I wanted it in there was because there were a couple times we heard, no, if we move the Davis Thayer kids to Keller, there's going to be overcrowding at Keller and there's not going to be enough space at Keller. And so I think it's important that people understand there is space, but you know, we can look at what everybody else thinks. If you think it's in the report, if people look at the report, they'll see those numbers there. MJ, thoughts?
I don't mind having it in there.
Yeah.
It is an important point.
Yeah, I think it's an important point. I agree. You okay with it, Judy?
It's perfectly fine.
Okay, thanks. Anything else to add about the KBA report in this summary here, this section? Get it? All right, so moving on. Stage one, phase two, focused on gathering stakeholder and district information. We surveyed perspectives from stakeholders with a questionnaire. So then there's a quick review of the top concerns and the main reasons for continuing to use DT as a school, the top three types of support. Oh, I added this. The top three types of support identified to ease a potential transition to a new building. So we had asked that question, and I just reviewed that again today and thought that could be important to add in here now, especially since people are talking about the transition now. So the top three here were, first off, a thoughtful transition process, including a tour, meeting the administrators and staff, connection building, preparations to meet all needs of DT students in the new building. The second thing identified was my child placed in a class with other DT students. And third, familiar staff continue to work with my child or children. So I felt like that was relevant at this point to pull that out, even though, again, we have the link to the survey. Anybody can click on that and see that once they get in there. But I thought pulling it out to put in our summary was important. But we can put it back if you guys don't like it. Thoughts?
I think it makes sense, but you're not going to take out those bullets with the 4 out of 157 and all those. Those are going to stay in, right?
Oh, yeah. I just put them down.
Okay.
Oh, you're going from a printed copy. Okay.
Okay.
I know. This is why I need a deadline so I can stop working. Yeah, I had updated a little bit today.
Okay.
And those emails actually were updated because we got a couple others. Okay, so keep it in, transition?
Keep it in, yep.
So that's the next thing, Judy, I put that next. So throughout our process, we encouraged and received emails from stakeholders about a variety of topics related to this work. Overall, during the last year, so I summarized these here. We received emails from 8 people, including DT families, DT staff, residents, et cetera, who requested keeping DT open for FY22 and or forever, and from 20 people who supported closing DT. And then a summary of opinions specific to the potential closure. So here I said disaggregated by role. So those first ones are just sort of like broad and general. And then underneath it's like looking at what percent of DT families, what percent of DT staff, the number of residents who actually emailed us and contacted us. And so those are updated as of like 5 p.m. today because we've gotten a couple extras.
I think all of those are extremely important.
Agreed. MJ, any questions or anything to add here?
No, because I had suggested that those numbers stay in the report.
Good. Perfect. And then at the bottom, when I added the comments we heard during citizens' comments in our meetings. So obviously that was all in the minutes, but I put that on the spreadsheet too to make sure we captured all those and can report on those because I think that's important too. So again, disaggregated by parents or DT staff and who was expressing support to keep it open or to close it. And of course, this is all anonymous here. An interesting thing that I think is pretty clear when you look at these numbers, for example, 6 out of 47 DT staff, which is 12.7%, emailed their support for closing DT. But in citizens' comments, 2 DT staff commented to keep DT open, but 0 commented to support closing DT. So it's interesting that some people are choosing to speak publicly and some people are choosing to email the committee directly. But I think it's important. And so the school committee's copied on all the, you know, the full school committee's copied on all those too. Okay. Also during stage one, phase two, we examined the financial and educational programming considerations presented by the district. So this document focused on areas required by our policy FCB and also covered additional factors, enrollment, staffing, other cost savings, transportation, building cost history, continuity of instructional and community programs, pandemic considerations related to physical distancing, considerations for Keller and Sullivan, and the district map. So I didn't know if that sentence was sort of, it had like the topic headings from the report from that memo. Is that enough, or should we do some kind of summary statement there? Again, the memo's right there. They can click on if they want details.
I don't know. What kind of a summary statement would you put there?
I don't know. That's why I had a question mark.
I don't think you need one.
Okay.
And I agree with that.
I feel like if I tried to summarize, it would be like a sentence or two for every section, and then it would be like a 3-page, yeah.
Right, I agree.
All right, that's validating. I just want to check, Miriam, is that okay with you? I know you guys put so much work into that.
That's
I just
fine. Feel
like summarizing it would be hard, okay, because it has different sections, okay. All right, so we discussed possible alternative educational uses of the building at our meeting on January 20th. So that just reviews that conversation and discussion that we had there. All right, next section is stakeholder communication.
Can can I just jump in back up? It was more of an employee daycare. Versus preschool. It would be likely preschool age children, but it was kind of a daycare / preschool program.
Okay, so daycare / preschool?
Yeah. Daycare.
Okay, thanks. That's important. Okay, stakeholder communication. So we made it a priority to communicate in a variety of ways with both the DT community as well as the greater Franklin Public Schools community throughout the process. So we have on that link a number of all the meetings and outreach emails that were done. And then some examples are highlighted below. So it talks about the monthly email communication and other opportunities. It talks about our website. Hearing updates at school committee meetings and at our subcommittee meetings. Franklin Matters is in there for publicizing updates. Our community information sessions are there with the links to the presentations. Another bullet here about emails. And here it is, reminded, as I'd said, verbally every meeting, and it says also in the email responses that all information gathered through these communications were documented, summarized, and considered as part of our evaluation process. In the interest of transparency and equity, all emails and citizens' comments were given the same general response that thanked them for their interest and encouraged continued involvement. All issues that were brought through emails and comments were addressed publicly at a future meeting. It talks about how our meetings were held virtually because of pandemic precautions, so it makes it easier and more convenient for community members to attend remotely. Shout out to our podcast on Franklin Matters, which happened in November, and the FAQ section there. So when the FAQ section, we'll have to figure out timing with this, Sarah, because I'd like to link that into the report, but we can't link it in until it's up, but we don't necessarily want to post it before the school committee. We're going to have to figure out timing with how to
I think the FAQs will be potentially a living document, so there are questions that should probably get answered now, and then there will be kind of regular updates as a living document, so we can do that.
Of course, that makes sense. All right, great. Okay, so that's done. So any other questions or comments about stakeholder communication here?
Nope, very thorough.
Thanks.
I agree.
Okay. So then moving to evaluating options. Okay, so we're talking about how the district compiled the 5 options. That memo is linked there. We talked about it on 120. We talked about it again on 128. I did mention here, as I did at our meetings, that subcommittee members were asked to spend time on their own between meetings to consider all the information gathered during our process, independently evaluate pros and cons of each option, then select their 1 or 2 options that they believe were best for the Franklin community. We talked about it again on 128 last week. Then we all shared our individual evaluations of the options and recommend our recommendations. So the recommendation to close DT in FY22 was independently selected by each of the subcommittee members. This is last week, supported by FBS administration. So then this sentence is highlighted because it hasn't happened yet. But on February 3rd, which is tonight, the subcommittee reviewed, discussed, and finalized this memo, then voted to present the recommendation via this summary to the full school committee at their meeting on February 9th. So just making sure that all this is accurate. So we're reviewing it now, we're discussing it now. We'll finalize it in a few minutes because we're almost done. And then we'll vote to present our recommendation via this summary to the full school committee.
Excuse me.
You okay? So then the recommendation section is, oh, good, you're right, Miriam. We'll call it a report. I should go in and change the memo to report. So then the recommendation section is, after completing a comprehensive closing study for the DT school, the Ad Hoc Facilities Analysis Subcommittee has voted to present this summary report to the Franklin School Committee with our recommendation that DT facility be closed for FY22. And then the other one I have here is, we also recommend that the Franklin School Committee establish a standing subcommittee focused on creating a master facilities plan to address other facility needs in the district. So I guess my question on that is that within our purview as a ad hoc subcommittee that's just supposed to be focusing on DT? Can we recommend that since that sort of came up a number of times, like through the information we were gathering?
I think it's important that it be included.
I agree.
Because, I mean, you know, while our work is essentially done with the DT subcommittee, there's a lot more to do. And, you know, it's not the first time that it has been mentioned, but we have to get it in place.
Right.
And I think we're well within, you know, we can make that recommendation. They, you know, they don't have to agree with it.
True. Right.
But, okay. I mean, that is something that we've, you know, all spoken about at these meetings.
Right. Absolutely. So just, I guess, a procedural question, Sarah, when we present this report, does that become two separate votes? Like the full school committee would have to vote on the first thing, which would be closing DT FY22, and then vote on the second thing, which is establishing a subcommittee? Or is that, I'm not sure exactly how that.
I don't think, and MJ may be thinking about this with her policy hat as well. I think that the chair can establish the subcommittee.
The school committee chair?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know that there would need to be two votes,
gotcha.
But we can double check on that, or I can double check on that.
Okay. And do you feel like that's an appropriate recommendation to put in this report? Like it's relevant?
I think it's relevant, and I think that the subcommittee members feel strongly about it, and I support that. And it, you know, was part of the discussion we've had. Can I make a suggestion about an item that you did consider that didn't appear in the report here? And that was the 2013 analysis on renovating or rebuilding.
Yes. Okay. So you're right. It's mentioned on page 2, but no, like there's no summary bullet. It just says it. So we could add a summary bullet. We can do that. Yeah.
Just a summary bullet, maybe to note the major pieces there around the $23 million to renovate and the $28 million to build new, because I could see that being a question among school committee members.
Right, definitely, and that was on the pros and cons chart somewhere. But you're right. Okay.
And I am, the school committee would have to establish the subcommittee.
Would have to vote for it to be established. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense for it to be here. Okay. All right. So any other thoughts? Do you feel like we have all the sections that we're sort of representing all the work that we did?
I think it's extremely thorough and comprehensive.
Thanks.
And there's not a graph in sight, but it says everything.
Thanks, Judy. Point taken. Okay. All right, so all we need to do is the royal we, I guess, which is me, is make a cover memo and add that 2013 kind of KBA renovation, those numbers. And I'm just scrolling through to make sure. Get the FAQ in there. So I think at this point, with the understanding that those things will be changed as discussed, at this point, I could entertain a motion to approve our recommendation to close DT for FY22 via the summary report to the school committee that we just reviewed. Does that sound right?
That sounds right. So moved.
Okay. Second that.
Second? Okay. So roll call vote. Judy Palm-Pepper?
Yes.
MJ Schofield?
Yes.
Elise Stokes? Yes. Okay, so that is unanimously approved. We do not have a meeting scheduled. I don't know how we approve these minutes, actually. Do we do that at a full school committee meeting? I don't know. We'll find out.
I think you can.
We'll find out. It will give me some time to clean it up. So we have no meeting scheduled. Our recommendation to the full school committee we just voted on. Is there anything else from the subcommittee tonight? I think we did a lot. Anything from the district chair, Miriam?
No, now that I'm just thinking about it, I think when the school start times committee dissolved, the town clerk said that either the subcommittee could do it at a meeting or I could do it on behalf of the subcommittee to approve the final minutes.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks. Okay, great. So since our work as a subcommittee is done and we're turning this over to the full school committee, there'll be no citizens' comments tonight. If you want to share your thoughts, please contact the full school committee through email or at an upcoming meeting. So at this point, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that.
And a second? Great. So we'll vote by roll call vote. Judy Palm-Pepper?
Yes.
MJ Schofield?
Yes.
Yes. So with the time being 6:23, I call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Good night.
Good job, Elise.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Marion.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.